In your Bibles, please, for our second reading. And we'll be turning to Job chapter 26. And we'll have Job begin his last discourse. Job chapter 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing that is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So I have divided the chapter into two sections. One where Job addresses Bildad directly. And he does so by way of reverse accusation or returning accusation upon him. Job says to him, in essence, "You came to one with no power, me. Am I the worse or better for your coming? You have come to one to give wisdom. Is he any wiser now? Have you truly filled up the question that he has asked? Have you understood and declared it with its remedy as you ought? Have your words been heard? What kind of spirit have you used in that you have spoken to me in this way?" So in all this, then, Job turns the accusations back upon Bildad and his ineffectiveness. "If it is as you say that the righteous are blessed and the wicked destroyed, why then have you brought nothing to this discussion? You have, in essence, only made things worse. And in your economy, what does that say? What does it truly mean?" Right, so that's the first section. And it's a stinging rebuke from Job. No doubt it is. I think it is deserved, but it is a stinging rebuke nonetheless. All right, so then Job finishes the chapter picking up on the thought that Bildad had already started, and that was the greatness of God. And Job is going to go on to tell him and to try to make him to understand. You say that I don't recognize the greatness of God, and that's why I'm murmuring against him. I do. Listen to my words here. And he's going to go on and talk about some wonderful, and by wonderful I mean that in the old sense, impossible for us to understand. We wonder at these things when we see them. How God creates and sustains the world. How he's garnished the heavens by his spirit. How he has stretched forth the canopy over the north country. That is, you know, caused it to snow up there, right? It's God that sends the snow up there. How he has divided the waters. How he owns not only the waters and the men, but also the crooked serpent. That is also God's and under his power, under his sovereignty. And all things in between. And then Job says this. I remember reading this when I read it the first time with understanding. It sent a shiver right down the middle of my back. In these things, a very small portion of Him is seen. Think of the power that it takes to cause the snow to fall, the canopy over the North Country. Think of the wonder that it takes to divide the seas and to sustain every living thing in them, including the crooked serpent. Think of what it is that the Lord has placed the world that it should hang on nothing in the space. Think of all of that power. Think of all of that majesty. Think of all of that sovereignty and direction and control. Think of the regularity that is itself a constant witness against the randomness of unbelief. Think of all of that, as Job does, and then say, and when I think about all these things, I recognize what a little portion of Him is heard in them. We haven't begun to tax the power of God in the creation and sustaining of the universe. We haven't begun to tax His power. He's got an infinite reservoir remaining. So that's how the chapter ends. Now Job is going to go on in further self-vindication in the next chapters. And so we will endure that for the next several weeks. And then we will begin, as the book itself turns like a large ship, as it begins to turn, and we begin to hold to see some good and some sound reason, not only from Elihu, but then from God Himself. And we will finally bring Job then to a place where he had not yet gone spiritually heretofore. Right? Okay. So let's drop the